reading is from Matthew 1:18-25. It's entitled The Birth of Jesus the Messiah. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son. He named his son, named him Jesus. Let us pray. Lord, we ask that you open our ears and our hearts to your message today, that we drink into our spirit your love. Amen. The gospel today focuses on trust. Trust that Joseph and Mary had. An angel appeared and told Mary that she would be with child even before marriage. A virgin birth, something probably not any woman would really be prepared for. But not for a moment did Mary stop to consider how having this child would affect her own life. She could never have gotten married. Who would have believed her? She could have lived in shame for the rest of her life, but she chose to trust and believe in God. Joseph had to trust God for Mary, who was pregnant. And even before they were married, he wanted to leave Mary, but after his dream, he decided simply to trust God. And three wise men trusted what the angel had said to them and followed the star with gifts to see the newborn king. Imagine your 12 or 14 years old girl who had just been visited by an angel, telling you that you would be giving birth and raising the Son of God even before you and a man named Joseph would come together in marriage. How would you respond? Well, Mary's first response was fear and doubt. Her reputation, her marriage, her sanity, and even her very life itself was on the line. Mary was born at a time when pregnancy before marriage was considered a crime, punishable by death. Just like Mary and Joseph, we can sometimes be faced with intimidating trials. Although our troubles will not measure up to theirs, we experience fear, and it feels real to us. It's the fear of losing face and reputation, the fear of what people would say and what people would do to us. Many times when God calls us, the first thing we are challenged is with our reputation. What will people think? This can be a good response at times, but it can also be a weakness in many occasions. Reputation does matter, but not as much as we might often like act like it does. Reputation, for one, is not more important than purpose. The Christmas story is a story of faith and trust, but it is so much more. It is actually a prescription for us for conquering our fears and to learn how to trust. In today's world, we have an unhealthy dose of fear. We're fearful of thoughts, we're fearful of words, we're fearful of choices. We are fearful of social unrest. And we are oftentimes fearful of each other. Fear seems to be in the wind around us. Our challenges in life today follow the history of Israel 2,000 years ago. They experienced great social unrest. Many lived under the pressure of government rules, suppression of faith, financial problems, and difficult living conditions. Then, like now, people had a deep fear of what was to come next. Now, scriptures told the people then and tell us now, do not fear. He has a plan, a purpose, if we can just learn to trust him. God whispered to Joseph, do not fear. This is part of the plan. God sent Joseph his assurance in a dream. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. Joseph's faith was restored, and another miracle within a miracle became apparent. So we learn in the worst of circumstances that we really can trust the Lord. Matthew provides us with a powerful message of trust in the Christmas story. Trust is not something we give easily. It is said that trust is never given, it is earned. That seems to be a very true statement. Businesses send their employees to team building trips. The team building seminars usually start with simple things, like getting a person to fall backwards and trust another person or group of people to catch them. The seminars teach coworkers to trust and depend on each other. I know most of you have bathed a child. You tell the child to keep their eyes closed and lean back into the water coming from the bathtub faucet. It would be going pretty well until the trust wore off and the child suddenly leaned forward and the soap and water got in their face and eyes. They rubbed their face and eyes with their hands and the crying and anger would start. They fear we will let them drown. If they would just let us help them, it would be over in 2 minutes. It's hard for them to learn to trust us, and it's hard for us to learn to trust. We trust things all the time without testing. We trust bridges as we drive our cars all around town. We trust our alarm clocks and, in these days, cell phones, to keep us on time and to go off at the correct time. How many times have you gotten onto a plane and not known anybody that built it? Or don't know the repair people? We don't even know the pilot. Talk about trust. Consider the difference between a sailboat and a rowboat. In a rowboat, the sailor is dependent upon human effort. In a sailboat, the sails are raised in faith, and the underlying power of the wind of the Spirit moves the boat. Now, skill is needed to man the sails, but faith in the wind makes the boat move much easier, and the power of the wind does not exhaust the crew. Have you ever been walking and picked up a stick to use as a walking stick, and have it proved to be rotten, even though it looked pretty sound? It failed your purpose. How about when a family member fails to do as expected? Does our trust get destroyed? What about when the new car fails to start or any other situation where we felt let down? Doesn't that leave us a little afraid of giving trust to any person or anything? The Christmas story reassures us to trust like Mary did, to trust and know that God will provide and lead us to solve what we think is an insurmountable problem. The angel appeared to Mary and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." Mary was frightened and confused by the angel's greeting. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her. "You have found favor with God. You will give birth to a son and you will name him Jesus." Now, as we quickly approach Christmas celebrations, I'd like you to listen to these words that are a play on Santa Claus coming to town. "Wipe away your tears and get rid of your fears. Here's the best news you've heard in years. Jesus Christ is coming to town." He's making a list in the book of life that will be the end of your trouble and strife. Jesus Christ is coming to town. He loves you when you're sleeping, and he loves you when you're awake. He loves you when you're bad or good. Be good for Jesus' sake. Now put on a smile and get rid of that frown. Spread the good news all around. Jesus Christ is coming to town. At this time of year, many people are thinking about Santa Claus coming to our town, thinking about all of the great gifts that Santa will bring them. But the real reason for this season is the celebration of Jesus Christ coming. And he brings us the greatest gift of all. He brings the gift of God's love and trust. Many men and women in the scriptures face difficult choices and unusual situations. Often they needed help to know what they should do. Their lives were blessed because they trusted in the Lord and obeyed him. In Genesis, Joseph's brothers stripped him of his beautiful coat and sold him to slave traders going to Egypt. Would you know what to do if you were taken from your family as Joseph was? Joseph trusted the Lord, and he kept his commandments even when faced with great temptations. And later, Pharaoh made Joseph a ruler over all of Egypt. Now Rebekah trusted the Lord and married Abraham's son Isaac, because she knew that Abraham and Isaac loved and served God. She became a mother of God's covenant people. Daniel trusted the Lord and obeyed his counsel to eat and drink only those things that would not harm him. He became wise and was appointed to be a ruler in Babylon. When we trust in the Lord, he can direct our paths. He will give us direction for choices we make, and he will help us. Where's Angela? A concerned brother asked. The rest of our family was slumped on the living room couch. Everyone shrugged. I don't know. Curious, I went to search for my sister. I checked each room of the house. When I finally found her, she was intently focused on something. She looked up, revealing the object of her attention, her Bible. I started to notice that Angela disappeared about the same time each day. I wondered how she found time to read God's Word. Between school and choir and church and volunteering at activities, Angela is one of the busiest people I know. So I asked her. Well, she said, every day I have to make the choice to spend time with God. It's not easy, but it's worth it. Devotions help me to get to know God on my own, to have a real personal relationship with him, and to trust in his advice and direction for my life. When we take time to pray and listen to our trust in the Lord, that trust grows stronger, and we can do anything, even if it's really hard. Because he directs our paths. He'll walk by our side. He'll hold our hand. And he will send his angels to surround us. Amen. Amen. It's our prayer time this morning.